BBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. We are live here. It is 2:20. Well, it's actually 2:15 in the afternoon, your time. My clock is 5 minutes fast. I just realized that I have this set 5 minutes fast. I don't know how that happened because I don't normally do that. So I wonder if Andrew did it. But anyway, it is 5 minutes fast, which that's okay. Anyway, we are live here. It is August 7th, 2024. And oh my goodness, what an absolutely horrible state of affairs our nation is in at this time. And I never thought that I would see this guy. However, I will say this about Tim Walz. He has this folksy appeal. And I believe it's the power of Satan. Because there is like this farmer folksy appeal type thing with him. But he's a raging Marxist. He's an absolute raging Marxist is what he is. Absolutely. I mean, without a doubt, that is what he is. I think he's possessed. I know he's possessed because the Bible says they have the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know, Ephesians 2 says, and Ephesians 6 says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These people are wicked. This man is a openly wicked man. Openly vile man. And I'm going to give you kind of, I'm going to read these, we're going to go over these articles and we're going to talk about them. But honestly, much of what I'm going to say to you in the beginning, I've already given you some scripture there in the beginning, but much of what I'm going to say to you is going to be my own experience living in Minnesota, having a church here in Minnesota, pastoring through COVID, and dealing with the aftermath of Minneapolis after Walz was done with it, and the governor and the BLM, Antifa, my own interactions, our men as we preach the gospel on the streets, our own interaction with these people, and because of Walz's administration. What, I mean, the Floyd stuff, all of that, all of it is satanic, but all of it is a direct reflection, Floyd and everything. That was a setup of all setups. I'm not going to really get into that because there's enough videos out there, the fall of Minneapolis, that covers a lot of that stuff. But my experience pastoring in Minnesota with an evangelistic ministry that goes out and preaches on the streets, we don't hide in our building like most of the fundies. You know, we don't hide out. We hit the streets and preach the gospel. And there was a time where we just had to stay away from Minneapolis for a while. I mean, we were locked down for many months or whatever. But I will tell you, and you can go back and listen, especially on sermon audio. Let me get over there. There's sermon audio. Nope, that's not going to work. Let's go here. We go back. Let's see. Actually, it's easier for me to do it this way, kind of. I don't know why I'm looking at the keyboard. I really don't have to. Sometimes. But if you go back, I broadcasted through all of that. I mean, I broadcasted a lot on COVID. You know, should churches cancel the cholera? That's when it first happened. And what I did when COVID first hit, we didn't meet for about 3 weeks in person because I wasn't for sure, you know, what it was. I think it was like 2.5 weeks, something like that, almost 3 weeks. Some, maybe it was three exactly. I don't know, but it was something like that. So after that, I was just like, you know, once I figured it out, what was going on, and I was for sure that it wasn't like, you know, they didn't release some kind of thing that was gonna, you know, kill people pretty quickly. I mean, they did release something that did it, but you know what I mean. Anyway, then I just kept going, right? We went back and we met. And I was done with it. Well, what happened was there was no preaching on the streets because everybody was pretty much locked down, so nobody was around. So after that 3 weeks, we met again. Well, they're going to talk about in some of these articles, they're going to talk about the governor's snitch line, the see something, say something line. And out of all of Northfield, there were three calls, and two of them were on me. And the police department called me the first time, and I've told you this story before, but it bears repeating because now that this man is on a stage, a national stage, right? So anyway, so here's this. So I get a phone call and a message. And it was from the assistant chief of police or something like that. And they said, Pastor Cooley, there's three calls for the to the governor's hotline in Northfield, and you are two of them. Now, you can't go flaunting the governor's orders. I realize you want to have church and everything else, but you can't flaunt the governor's orders. And I didn't even answer him. I just ignored it. I just ignored it. I was like, whatever. I'm like, I'm not flaunting anything. I'm just having church. I have a God-given right to meet and assemble, and one recognized by the First Amendment. But it's God-given. Not by Governor Lord Tryon there, wannabe. So then they called again. And this time the chief of police called. And he was like, look, the chief of police called and he said, look, there's, you know, you got calls about you and I knew some old lady who had a mask on was riding her bike down below and she saw us all. Oh, I saw happy people up there and they were all eating and they didn't have masks on. And they were, of course, you have a mask on when you eat, lady. What's the matter with you? Anyway, they were all up there and they were laughing and they were having a good time and none of them had any masks on. It's like, yeah. So what? I knew that lady when I saw her. I know she was like doag. She was going to call the cops on me, man. I knew it. Believe me, I lived a wicked life before I was saved. I know a cop caller when I see one. So, anyway, she called the cops. That was a nasty granny. She called the cops. They called me. They were like, look, Pastor Cooley. I'm like, well, here's the thing, boss. Here's how this is going. I said, I can't promise you that I'm not going to meet that we're not going to meet as a church. Like, I'm not going to promise you that. And I mean, if I have to, like, go all the way up to the Supreme Court, I mean, I guess I will, but I'm not going to not meet. Well, then we were just like, all right. We thought about it. I thought about it. And I talked to the men. I said, you know what? Let's just meet at some remote locations. We'll just go meet somewhere where they can't see us. So we did. There's a whole series of sermons that have never been produced. I got to find those. Andrew's got to have those. There's a whole series. And I call them the barn sermons. Because we met in an old barn. Man, we had some of the best times in that old barn, man. We spent entire days out there, man. The whole day we would spend out there. Till nighttime, we went home late at night. We would just rejoice and fellowship away from everybody. It was awesome. We had sweet fellowship. During that time, the Lord grew the church. You know, we had more people. Stronger people. I mean, spiritually, the Lord grew us. So we just stayed outside and away from out of the snitches. Out of the snitches' reach there. I mean, I remember going into grocery stores. They got so mad at us in Northfield. Me and Dave, every time me and Dave went into a stinking store, man. It was, Becca. It was one of the best summers. Man, I enjoyed that time. That was just some sweet fellowship that we had, and it was just a blessing. It really was. Yeah, I mean, I'll never forget it. It was something. I remember going into stores with Dave and me. Hands down, every time me and Dave went into a store, I got into an argument with a Jezebel. Every time. Dave would go by himself, or he would go with somebody else, or the guys would go to the store. Nothing. Me and Dave go together to a store? Oh, yeah. Me and Dave are getting into it, man. Oh, you all have medical conditions that you can't wear a mask? I was like, it's none of your business, lady. I looked at that woman. I was like, it ain't none of your business. Right? I was like, don't be bossing me around. Why don't you go talk to your husband? You might tell your husband what to do, but you ain't telling me what to do, woman. Oh, man, did that make her mad. Man, did that lady get mad. There was a bunch of old ninnies over there in... John R. Rice called them bobbed-haired bossy wives. Bunch of bobbed-haired bossy wives. Tell me I needed a mask on. Man, would they get mad. So they would just get angry, man. In Northfield, everybody knew it was us. It was always us. Old Paths Baptist Church. So anyway, it got, I had to wear them sometimes to go into the store just because it was like, when they started really putting the hooks in. But, yeah, it was pretty crazy. Anyway, so during that time period, Walls is really like, he's laying it on, you know, he's pushing, and then he's like, oh, you know, so I got the governor's hotline called on me a few times, and, you know, they got angry with us. Well, Walls, meanwhile, you know, they're keeping all these hood rats all locked up. Can't go nowhere. And the George Floyd stuff was just, it was a powder keg waiting to happen, man. It was a powder keg waiting to happen. You know, so I know what it's like to have the cops called on you for them to talk to you about the masks and all this other stuff. Well, meanwhile, during this time period, you know, Walls had everybody's church services. Nobody could go singing in the church. You know, you couldn't sing. You had to wear a mask. You could only have 12 people. You could only do this. You could only have this. You could only do that. So it got pretty crazy. And like Lee calls him, Kim John Walls. Little commie. By the way, Walls is both, here's what you have to understand. Walls is, he is both a Marxist and a fascist. As most of them are, by the way. Oh, Walls' name is spelled wrong in this, by the way. I don't know who spelled it Waltz. Got to fix that. Andrew did that. It's your fault, Andrew. You spelled it wrong. You spelled it Waltz. We're not going for a waltz. Anyway. I think I can fix that. There we go. Got it. Fixed it. All right, done. So, I have experience with Tim Walz and his government. Then move on through COVID to right at the time of the George Floyd riots. Tim Walz is Minnesota, lower growth, higher crime. We're going to watch a video, actually. Yes, he did know the cop that killed him. They worked at the nightclub down there. But he really did get killed. Okay. So, let me get this. Let me get this started here. At 3 minutes.
Woke, a radical liberal, the very online adult daughter, more about her in a moment, and the First Lady of Minnesota, totally out of touch, and we can go on and on and on. Actually, let's do that right now. If you think any of these words are not nice, well, this law that he signed is not nice. Get this. Tampons, the tampon law. Public schools provide menstrual products for free in girls' and boys' bathrooms. Great.
Okay, stop right there for a second. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. So here's a governor that signs into law menstruating people. Menstruating people. I got to find that video. Let me see where that is. It's on Twitter. Here it is right here. You got to hear this. You're not going to believe this.
I would encourage the committee to vote no on this amendment for a few reasons. Practical, financial, social, emotional. First, there are a lot of schools that are moving towards gender-neutral bathrooms. And if we add female, we might become obsolete very quickly. Second, not all students who menstruate are female.
Wait, what? I'm gonna tell you something flat out. Right? That only a woman can menstruate. There are no men that menstruate.
We need to make sure that all students become obsolete very quickly. Second, not all students who menstruate are female. We need to make sure that all students have access to these products. There are obviously less non-female menstruating students, and therefore their usage will be much lower. And that was actually calculated into the cost of this and how much we decided to fund it. And so we do not expect that the non-female menstruating students will use these products as much as the students using female bathrooms, but it's important to have them there.
This is the most insane thing. I think I've one of the most insane things I've ever heard in my life. But this woman worked for the governor, worked with the governor to pass this. I'm going to let you listen, then we'll play it through again.
And that brings me to the social emotional reasons for that. These students who are not female, who menstruate, face a greater stigma and barrier to asking for these products. And so providing them in an easily accessible place in all student bathrooms is particular.
Okay, could you tell me how a man menstruates? So they imagine in their mind that they menstruate. So they go, and that's why they're calling them Tampon Tim. I think it's hilarious that they're calling him Tampon Tim, by the way. I think that's funny. But honestly, okay, he calls J.D. Vance weird. Now, you all know I'm not a Trump supporter. I don't support J.D. Vance. You all know that. That's pretty clear. But if I was going to go out on a limb and say which guy's weirder than the other, I would have to say this guy is definitely weirder. Not only weird, but he is straight up queer. For someone to put this forward, menstruating men, I mean, really.
I would encourage the committee to vote no on this amendment for a few reasons, practical, financial, social, emotional. First, there are a lot of schools that are moving towards gender-neutral bathrooms, and if we add female, we might become obsolete very quickly. Second, not all students who menstruate are female. We need to make sure that all students have access to these products. There are obviously less non-female menstruating students, and therefore their usage will be much lower. And that was actually calculated into the cost of this and how much we decided to fund it. And so we do not expect that the non-female menstruating students will use these products as much as the students using female bathrooms, but it's important to have them there. And that brings me to the social emotional reasons for that. These students who are not female, who menstruate, face a greater stigma and barrier to asking for these products. And so providing them in an easily accessible place in all student bathrooms is particularly important for those students.
Okay, so what you're saying is you're going to walk, some dude walks up to you, goes, "Hey, can I get a tampon?" Like, when I was a kid, if a dude said that, you'd probably would have punched him in the face if he was serious. You'd be like, shut up. Knock it off. And when he, like, kept being serious, we'd look at him like, dude, that's gay. Right? That's just how we would have, that's how we would have looked at him. Okay, here, this is how we would have looked at him.
"Hey, bro. What do you think of my new vest? Pretty sweet, right?"
"Honestly, bro, it's so cis."
"So cis. Is that a bad thing?"
"Hey, guys, you know, you really shouldn't say that."
"What?
Saying something is cisgendered when you mean it's bad, it's insulting. Cis people are real and they have feelings. What if every time something was bad, everybody said, 'That's so gay.'"
"Oh man, I used to call everything gay in high school. Tamagotchi, Smash Mouth, that kid Kenny, who actually turned out gay. Well, I guess I see what you mean."
"Don't let the bullies get you down, cisgendered man. And remember, it gets better."
"Oh, I thought we weren't supposed to say cis, but thank you, PSA lady, spokesperson, fellow." "So you really don't like my vest?"
"When you say that's cis, do you think about what you're saying? Knock it off."
That kid Kenny, who turned out to be gay.
Grades 4 to 12. There are a lot of things the government can do or should be doing, you know, roads, I don't know, bridges, schools, but not going into the bathrooms. And this is what it's all about lately in Minnesota. Check out his key ally, someone he endorsed and got a lot of help from on this law.
"Not all students who menstruate are female. We need to make sure that all students have access to these products. They're obviously less non-female menstruating students, and therefore their usage will be much lower. And that was actually calculated into the cost of this and how much we decided to fund it. And so we do not expect that the non-female menstruating students will use these products as much as the students using female bathrooms, but it's important to have them there. And that brings me to the social-emotional reasons for that. These students who are not female, who menstruate, face a greater stigma and barrier to asking for these products, and so providing them in an easily accessible place in all student bathrooms is particularly important for those students.
Did we get all that? The government going exactly where it shouldn't be going. This is insane.
Right, so here is the top of the ticket. And this reminds me of this. I don't know, that lady reminds me of this.
But I can't work many hours because of my anxiety.
You have anxiety?
Yes, I do.
What causes anxiety for you?
Lots of things.
Like what, for an example?
Anything that doesn't agree with me, basically, or see things the way I do and see the good in things. That I just think that society is lost and just a bunch of hateful bullies.
She's turning you into a woman.
I am not a woman, Jesse.
Yeah, you act like one because you're afraid. You're beta.
No, you're a beta.
No. You're a beta, Michael.
No, beta. You are a beta.
Beta.
I am a normal man. You're a beta man.
No, you're not normal. I could think of many words to call you. Norman is not one.
I'm putting this on the bully list.
I almost think that Jesse is making this up and then had that guy come back as a tranny. I'm almost think that he is like making these up, because this does not seem like it's that legitimate. It is so cartoon, but let me say this, okay? Because we say that, but this is real. Look at this. This is real.
Beyond belief. It's kind of comical, but then again, this stuff is actually showing up in fourth graders' bathrooms. All kinds of questions. He's into something he liked. I don't know. He's leading.
Look. I mean, seriously, really? This is the guy that's on the top of the ticket. And he's turned Minnesota into a haven for transgenders, for children to take, which I'll get to.
Today, Governor Tim Walz signed the Driver's License for All bill into law. This will allow all Minnesotans to get a driver's license regardless of immigration status.
It's done.
A packed room at the St. Paul Armory erupted after the governor's signature made Driver's License for All the law of the land.
He's going to be a very kind of high-value target for Republicans, for MAGA, because he's the governor. He didn't just vote on these things. He signed it into law. He's leading the state. He's like the president of Minnesota, and his record is rich. He's also saying all the right things for a woke man in the Democrat Party.
I understand that the privilege I've been given as a white man and the privilege of sitting in the office of governor, that privilege had better be used to not just talk about the problem, but to solve the problem.
This kind of nauseating stuff. Speaking as a white man, speak for yourself. Nobody wants to be judged on this, except for people like him who live in mansions. He lives in the governor's mansion. More on that in a moment. You got to talk like this in the Democrat Party. It's a very peculiar moment. Three white men, I don't care, but they do, were in consideration for the vice presidential spot. Why three white men? Only because Kamala is a woman of color. That's the way the calculus works. It shifts. That's why these three were eligible. And he's really into this, I'm just an old white guy, what do I know? He says it all the time.
Some of us are... some of us in here are old enough to remember
I see you down there. I see those old white guys. Some of us are old enough to remember.
I hate that. It drives me crazy. And it usually...
Right. He's a bunch of... They're a bunch of Marxist race baiters. They're pushing the race baiting. That's what they're doing. Because that's what these evil people do. They want a war. They're going to push in the new right. I firmly believe this, that this is going to backfire on purpose. I believe it's meant to backfire. Because I believe the Jesuits want that far right. That the Jesuits want that far right administration in. It's going in around the world everywhere. What they're doing in the UK right now, pay attention closely. What they're doing in the UK right now, okay? And maybe I'll talk about that on Friday. I wish I could. I tried to get a hold of Harry, but he never answered me, so I don't know. I asked him, what's going on in the UK? But they're pushing the right. They're pushing men into the arms of the right. They are. That's exactly what they're doing. Because it's rage. Because you're going to be like, dude, you told my son he needs a tampon. Or how about this? You're going to take my children. And you're going to chop off their body parts without their parents' permission. Call it a transsexual safe haven. And then threaten to take away people's children when they don't want their children to chop off their genitals and take hormones. Now, I will say this. As a Christian, if I am praying, if I am seeking God's face, if I am raising my children right for the Lord, and I am keeping away from these evil people, they're not going to be conditioned by these people. But if you let in Hollywood, if you let in movies, if you let in influences, if you let in pop culture, if you let in wickedness, if you put them in the public school system, if you put them and expose them to all these things, don't be surprised that it affects them. Don't be surprised. That's why you have to raise your children. And not give them over to the state-sponsored schools. Right? Because giving your children over to these animals is going to turn them into an animal. Hey, let me ask you a question. What does the Bible tell us? In Romans chapter 1. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein," where? The gospel. Are you listening to me? It's the gospel. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him, for the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now see, here's the problem. Here's the major problem. It says here, "For their foolish heart, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God." Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. What is that? It's the religion of the beast. When you send children to state-sponsored schools, when you send them there, they're teaching them the religion of the beast, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts, and creeping things. That's what you're doing. You're turning them into brute beasts. That's it right there.
Said by leftists, white people, right? As a way to enhance and fortify their power, their status. Speak for yourselves, but it trickles down. That's actually fashionable. In your neck of the woods, what about at the bus depot, right? What about around here? Nobody wants to be judged on the color of their skin, but it's fashionable and it's a trick for him to enhance his power. Does that make sense? I hope so. All right, also, on the George Floyd stuff, this guy failed miserably. Y'all remember what happened to the precinct and the rest of that city?
Look at this picture. And I have a better picture in the PowerPoint.
And he was totally late. Everybody...
But it literally, that picture looks like Gotham City. I did a PowerPoint on that. Let's see if I can find it. Here it is. Let's see.
Right?
Let me see if I can find it here.
Basically, when he tried to take this.
I remember this. This is the same time period that all this is going on.
Scripture sign from my son was holding the sign, and I walked up there, and he's told me he was going to, you know, knock me out and do all kinds of other stuff to me and all that kind of stuff. If because I was, you know, in his face, he kept coming around trying to get me. He'd come around. Brother Paul came over there. Remember that when the sign was there? You're on video, Paul. You're famous. You stood there and kind of stood in between us for a while. And anyway, so these guys are getting into...
That's a dude, okay, that's dressed like a woman. That's a lesbian. And that's like some dude that got in the
violent
middle of it.
Fights. Why? Because sodomites are violent.
This is during the riots. This is right after the riots.
Transgenders are violent people. See, this won't be taught in your...
See if I can find that picture. It is the thumbnail, but I don't know if I... Oop, there. I might have got it. There it is.
Some sort of lewdness.
Right there. That is a real picture. That is really what happened. That was the precinct in Minneapolis. They let it burn. In fact, they sent agents to burn it. But anyway, and to start the riots. I watched the video. There was a video. This was right when it happened. And a dude in a suit, or a dude in Black Ops type outfit, started burning stuff down. But anyway, this is the police station. This is Minneapolis. Now, doesn't that look like something off of Gotham City? Does it not look like Gotham City? It literally looks like something off of Gotham City. Batman. I mean, it they burnt that thing down to the ground. They destroyed the target that we preached outside of, so much so that they closed Target for good, permanently. We used to preach outside the Nicollet Mall. I've preached outside there for probably 12 years. Man, Lucius was like 7 or 8 years old, I think, maybe 9 years old when he was out there in front of there as a little boy, him and Samuel Pearson preaching out, and I was preaching out inside in front of there. But anyway, that's Gotham. That's not Gotham City. That's actually Minneapolis under this Marxist. But remember, we have to stop Christians from singing in church. Mask up, Minnesota. We got to stop. You can't have that many people singing in church. Right? But this was okay. And they did nothing about it. So that's real. That's what I use for my PowerPoint. I didn't need any fake picture. I use the real thing. The real picture, right there. Exactly what was going on under Walls. Who let that happen? Literally let that happen.
Nobody understood. This is a huge liability. I don't see how he got nominated here. I mean, everybody understood that he was late. He didn't.
He didn't call in the National Guard during the riots at all. He just let them burn everything down on purpose. He kowtowed to the George Floyd stuff, which there's enough wrong going around between all of them anyway. George Floyd and the cop. I mean, both of them. All of it. Remember, this is the same right after this time period, right after it. You know, right after the time period. Of this. You know, we're preaching over there, right? And those guys are telling us, you know, well, they're telling us that the cops looked at us and said, do you think I really care what happens to you? Do you think I really care? And I looked at him, I said, no, I don't think you care. You guys stuck a knee on somebody's neck and killed him. I don't think you care about me. During this same time period, let's take a trip down memory lane. Jacob's favorite candy boy.
We got armed revolutionaries here.
This is, see that? This is right after the riots. This is August 22nd, 2020. We are right in the mix of it. This is 4 years ago. Okay? This is during, right after. We went downtown to preach. What a mess. Antifa was there. Black Lives Matters was there. And we were threatened by both of them. Cops, nowhere. This guy comes by, Antifa. He said, we got the revolutionaries here. We got a bunch of revolutionaries here. They were telling us to leave. This Antifa thug, he was telling us, you guys got to leave. You guys get out of here. Cops are nowhere. So he rides around on his bike.
He's coming on the sidewalk, so.
Was that Kermit the Frog on the bicycle?
Woo! The worst mistake you made.
He maced us.
I don't know, whatever it is. He just maced you. I closed my eyes.
Did he get you?
No. Yeah,
he maced him.
It smells like something. I don't know what it's.
Probably mace. Oh, you're gonna now, huh?
Okay, so they maced us. I'm going to have you watch that again. He maced us. Jacob called him a candy boy, and he got mad, and so he maced him.
He's coming on the sidewalk, so.
Was that Kermit the Frog on a bicycle?
Woo! Notice he's got his face completely covered. He's got a mask on completely because he's a criminal. And he's covering up completely. And he had threatened to go get his boys, a bunch of them. You know, he had threatened that. But, you know, it didn't really matter, you know, to us. But but we knew it was time to go. What are you going to do, bigot? Y'all going to run away? Now, I want to be real with you, okay, and tell you something. Now, this is just me speaking as a man, all right? If I wanted to, right here, if I wanted to, I could have ran straight at him, knocked him off that bike, and beat him to the ground in literally about 10 seconds, maybe 15. And I'm not exaggerating, and I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. If I was violent, and I wasn't a born-again, Bible-believing Christian and a pastor that's not a brawler, I would have ran up to him, and I would have kicked him right in the shins so his feet got stuck in those pedals, kicked him over while he was stuck under his bike, and beat him while he was stuck under his bike, and stuck that mace down his throat. Full stop. No joke. Dead serious. Like, I'm not even kidding you. And I'm not saying that to be violent or to encourage violence. I'm telling you, that's the Holy Ghost restraint. Because honestly, there is nothing scary about that little Stretch Armstrong right there. Like, not even the mace. Like, nothing of it is scary. If he'd have been around when I grew up and ran around his little bike like that and acted like that, we would have just beat him down. Okay? I mean, like, and laughed about it. Like, what? Are you that stupid, dude? Really? You're dumb? Oh, man, you are dumb. You are a special kind of stupid. But That's not biblical. It's not what we do. I mean, it would have been so easy. Like, if he would have sprayed me with that, I wouldn't have cared just to get a hold of him. Like, I would have taken that shot to the face to get a hold of him and play what Dr. Seuss called ring the gack. Like, no joke. Dead serious. Anyway, so... But that's what he did. Because that's how they are. But that's what was going on down there. Right after the riots.
I don't know, whatever it is. I closed my eyes.
Did he get you?
No. It smells like something. I don't know what it's...
Now, huh?
Yeah, we were really scared, dude. We were just like so scared. We all, did you see us run? We just ran, didn't we? Don't ever accuse sinners of being smart. They're pretty stupid. But remember, this is all this man's doing right here. He's letting this all happen.
The National Guard for like 4 days as that city erupted because I think, quite frankly, being a white person inhibited him. Oh, who am I to call for law and order? And the city and the state and, quite frankly, the world suffered because they got out of hand in Minneapolis first and then it caught fire globally.
We are seeing such damage and destruction throughout Minneapolis and St. Paul. Things have gotten so out of control, it is hard to understand.
It's been a chaotic, at times violent day in South Minneapolis, turning into a situation unlike anything we've ever seen in our community.
From Chopper 5 up above, we can see the plume of smoke drifting towards downtown Minneapolis.
Started vandalizing the building, shattering a window, spray painting squad cars.
We are asking the governor, we're asking Mayor Fry, what is the plan here?
We saw people throwing rocks at police cars, at the precinct building.
This has gotten so out of control, it is definitely not a safe situation for anyone.
The tragedy would be if one of these dumpster fires spreads to one of those big apartment buildings or some of these homes, and then you can't get a fire truck down the street.
Please, Governor Walz, Mayor Fry, explain to us what the plan is.
We've seen protesters.
Literally, they did nothing. Now, listen. There are people that are living there that are good, kind people. They go to work every day. They pay their bills. They give to charity. I'm not saying they're all saved. They buy their food. They buy their goods. They take care of their children. And those people's houses, their businesses, everything they had was being destroyed. And they did nothing. Everything. Everything was being destroyed. I mean, you have to understand something. There were people that were like literally crying because they were poor people that had stores and things that they were just living day to day. And they destroy, and those thugs went in there and just burned their stores down, stole all their stuff. They weren't rich people. Do you understand that? They weren't people that could, they weren't people that could afford, like, they're not Walmart or Target. They were like Johnny's Shoes or something like that, and they burned their store to the ground. They were like little Chinese markets and little Mexican markets and little, and you know, whatever it is. They had nothing. They were poor people and he watched it burn and he didn't do anything about it. And they let those thugs go through there. So it's not just government or whatever. Who cares about that? This is people. That were losing everything they had. Like they were scared. And they just didn't do anything. They just kept. You back up just a little bit so you can hear that.
Situation for anyone.
The tragedy would be if one of these dumpster fires spreads to one of those big apartment buildings or some of these homes, and then you can't get a fire truck down the street.
Please, Governor Walz, Mayor Fry, explain to us what the plan is.
We've seen protesters attacking police, defacing buildings, and looting from businesses.
The place is completely trashed. A lot of...
I mean, seriously, look at this. This is right where we preach.
Buildings and looting.
This is right where we preach.
Place is
right there. I've been in that Target. Went in there to use the bathroom when I was preaching across the street. There's an escalator that goes upstairs, too. There's an upstairs and a downstairs, that Target. Well, there used to be. It's gone now. These aren't paid actors. The paid propagandists are the ones that started it. But once you work the frenzy up of people, the propaganda, once you work it up, right? Then it's like hysteria. It's like hysteria. Then they just take over. That's what it is. It's like, and that's what happened. Absolute hysteria.
Completely trashed. A lot of stuff has been hauled out of there. Sadly, no police presence in that area whatsoever.
I'm just so baffled. If this is being in charge, this is not a good look.
That should end a political career, not make it, not set you on your way to be the vice presidential nominee for the Democrat Party. That's what government is needed for. Law and order, save people, protect property. And they didn't. They're handing out tampons in the boys' room in fourth grade. All right, got to talk about his family for a moment.
Right, think about this. So here's this guy, right? He's the governor. He's handing out tampons to boys, signing laws for gender reassignment and hormones. Lifting up thugs and criminals. While the whole city is burning and nobody's protecting any of these people. But meanwhile, we got to shut churches down and we got to limit this and we got to do this and we got to do that, right? Because that was dangerous. By the way, no one even talked about the fact that all the old people that died in nursing homes in Minnesota. Let's see. I wonder if I have that. There was like an incredible amount of COVID deaths that took place in nursing homes. They rounded them up like all these governors did. And how many of those people died from COVID in nursing homes? It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. They killed so many people. They had them, and they sent like sick people. I'm telling you. And that's not even, by the way, that doesn't even include the $250 million scandal and the COVID fraud and the $250 million in food scandal that he whitewashed and covered up.
His wife did a little Marie Antoinette kind of routine during Black Lives Matter riots in 2020 as she sat in the governor's mansion.
I would say those first days, you know, when there were riots, I could smell the burning tires. And that was a very real thing. And I kept the windows open for as long as I could because I felt like that was such a touchstone of what was happening.
Okay. Now, I hate to show you this because I know this guy doesn't have a shirt on, okay? I get it. But this was real. And this happened. Okay? I can't play the video because I think it's, I'm pretty sure it's got cussing in it. So I'll mute it and I'll just kind of talk over it. But we're standing there and I'm doing an interview with Andrew just talking about things. And all of a sudden this dude, he's angry. He comes up. He's with Black Lives Matters. And he's pretty angry. So he's out of it. And he's going to come over with his boyfriend. It looks like his boyfriend. So I saw that it was getting kind of hairy over there. So I went over there. And I guess he thought I was going to be afraid of him. That's what he thought. You know, he thought that I was going to run away from him or I was going to be afraid of him because he's black and he's a thug. So I was going to be afraid of him. So I tried to reason with him. I was trying to reason with him, give him the gospel. But he just kind of wanted to fight. He thought he was going to fight me, I guess, or intimidate me. I think he thought I was going to like run from him or something, and that didn't happen. But he did give me a warning that I took serious. Okay, Mount Bike said, he said, what they said was COVID. My fear is that they are going to say a new disease is here and quarantine people, but murder them and say they died of a new disease. Well, all I can tell you is my mother almost died. I watched it. She sat on my couch for about 6 weeks straight and couldn't move. So, you know, I know for sure that that was real. All right. I don't know what it was. You can call it COVID or whatever else you want to call it. But, you know, that's what happened. And, you know, I watched my mom almost die from it. I watched other people die and get sick and die. Pastor Jeffrey's pastor. Pastor Lamore, it killed him in 2 weeks. So just because you didn't get it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Because I watched people in our church after COVID, after the lockdowns were over, that's when we all got it. It was like a year later. And I watched people die. I mean, I've heard of people dying. I didn't watch them die, but I heard of people dying, and Pastor Jeffrey's pastor died from it. My mom almost died from it. My mom literally could not lift her head off that couch for 6 weeks straight. I watched her sit there and not be able to even move. So, I mean, I don't buy into this argument that people have about everything being fake and nothing really happening, because we were sick. There's a lot of people that were sick. So they manufactured something in a lab in China and released it to the population.
A teachable moment? Are you crazy? Did you confer about it with Tim? Instead of, you should have been handing out milk and cookies or coffee to the National Guard as they were sending in the troops to downtown instead of having some sort of moment in the mansion. These governors and their mansions, it kind of sickens me. I saw this with the Atlanta people as well. You get a mansion, it goes to your head. They think that they are the presidents of the head of state. I guess they kind of are in a weird way, of Minneapolis, Minnesota, whatever. Hey, they dressed up the mansion in pride, of course, right? You got to do that these days in the Democrat Party. Hey, something else about George Floyd. He honored him. Now, before we see how he honored him, let's review who this guy was, okay? Arrested 9 times, multiple years in jail, drugs, trespassing, theft, aggravated robbery. You heard about the knife threatening the woman, the pregnant woman. The porn videos are neither here nor there. It is just a fact. And if we're going to have statues about this guy, I think we should know the whole story, including the porn. What did the governor say about George Floyd? He needs to be honored because he is none of those things. He is a brother. He is a beloved father.
Yeah. So he gets up there and calls this guy. Didn't call him a stinking thug, a wicked sinner. Right? Because none of these guys can do that because they're all lost and dead in their sins. Whether it's Trump or whether it's Kamala Harris or whether it's Tim Walz. Doesn't really matter who it is if they're not born again by the Spirit of God. By the way, Tim Walz is part of the ELCA, the most liberal, Lutheran, transgender loving. See, your theology matters. Let me show you something here. I think it's the dissenter. Hang on. Should be it. Here it is. Kamala Harris's VP pick belongs to a denomination overtaken by drag queens and sexual immorality. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's this wicked man, but guess what? There's always a theology that's connected to this. Hitler was a Roman Catholic. An apostate Lutherans like Kittel and his Nazi Bible correcting was a part of that. But here you go. There's theology behind that, behind what they do. Look at this. Look what the scriptures say to us. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. What's going on here? Bad theology. This man is an ELCA Lutheran. So what does that mean? They promote homosexuality, transgenderism. If you need another reason to believe that America is just a modern reincarnation of Sodom and Gomorrah, look no further than Kamala Harris and her latest vice presidential pick, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. In a move that epitomizes the moral decay of our nation, where not only stupid meets stupider, but also sprinkled with total depravity on display, Harris has chosen an extreme leftist with the religious views that can only be described as perverted. Walz, the so-called Minnesota Lutheran dad, hails from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA, a denomination so thoroughly overrun by drag queens and sexual immorality that it scarcely resembles anything close to Christianity, save the name only, which only makes its judgment worse. There's nothing worse than apostate Christianity. Apostate Christianity is worse than Islam. It is worse than anything. The ELCA's embrace of sexual anarchy and its celebration ordination of drag queens as holy are but a few symptoms of its complete departure from biblical teaching. This is the same denomination that hosts blasphemous drag queen story hours and stands these queers in the pulpits to defame our God, turning what should be places of worship into stages of debauchery. How fitting that Walz, with his liberal policies and progressive zeal, finds his spiritual home in such a place. This is them. This is who they are. Bad theology kills, friend. If you're wrong about God, if you're an apostate and you're wrong about the God of the Bible, This isn't just a slippery slope. It's a free fall into the abyss. The leaders of the ELCA don't just tolerate immorality. They celebrate it. They host the rainbow flag over the cross and preach the gospel of inclusivity over the gospel of Christ. Is this what Walls considers his moral compass? Look. He imposes restrictions on worship during pandemic, yet bends over backwards to accommodate every whim of the LGBTQ plus community. He rallies with faith leaders after the death of George Floyd, not to uphold justice, but to fan the flames of unrest. He attends iftar dinners in Eid celebrations, championing religious inclusivity while his own denomination crumbles under the weight of his heresies. That's what theology drives him. That's what it is. So understand, that's what it is. See? This is what these people believe. So when you understand what Tim Walz believes, right? You understand that he's driven by religious ideology. What is his religious ideology? His religious ideology is the ELCA. So what is that exactly? How does that work? Well, it's apostate Christianity. It's Babylon. That's what it is. It is Babylon. And it's the religion of the beast, and it's destruction. And it's destroying. They're not Christians. Hang on, I gotta find it. There we go.
Son, uncle, cousin, nephew, neighbor, and friend, blah, 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 blah. And how long? This is a proclamation demanding a moment of silence, and not just a minute of silence. He wanted 8 minutes and 46 seconds for the people of the state of Minnesota to stand around and think about George Floyd. How about that? Something else government should not be doing, wasting people's time. We've talked about George Floyd before, by the way. The whole world has been told only lies about that case. We'll revisit another day. All right. In the meantime, they had a great big event, and Kamala says she's thrilled, and she did look kind of happy today. The big thing this guy also has going for him in Democrat circles is his military background. Oh, wow, a Democrat in the military. That's something to brag about, right?
He is a veteran who served our nation in uniform for more than two decades as a member of the Army National Guard, and he went to college on the GI Bill.
They are swooning about his military record. I found out a few things about it. I'll get to that in a moment. But first, not only Kamala bragging about it, the media, they love it. They talk more about this guy's military record than they did John McCain's. John McCain, 5 years in a Vietnam prison camp. It barely mentioned. This guy, watch.
I first of all see Tim Walz, the veteran. I see someone.
Anyway, who cares? But here's another important point. He also uses power to allow children who were born alive after a failed abortion to be left to die. Imagine a helpless child just born into the world, left utterly alone to die in a hospital room. That's his policy. That's what he believes. Right? Just left him to die. By the way, they are some weird people.
Good evening. Good evening, Cindy. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening.
Man, that is just weird, man. Here we go. Transgender Tim Walz signed law to strip children of parental protections. He signed a law that strips parental protections from out-of-state teenagers and children who claim to want irreversible transgender medical treatment. He also signed the laws that instill tampon dispensing machines in K-12 schools to broadcast the state's claim that teenage girls can choose their legal sex, and also a law that allows pedophilia to be someday legally protected under existing state anti-discrimination laws. Yep. As a woman, I think there's no greater threat to our health than leaders who support gender transition surgeries for young minors, who support putting tampons in men's bathrooms in public schools, campaign spokesman Carolyn Levitt told Fox News on Tuesday. Those are radical policies that Tim Walz supports. Kamala Harris's selection of Tim Walz as her running mate sends a clear message. Rep. Brian Curran and Leah Finke blatantly lied on the House floor this week about the involvement of parents in transitioning. A bill Finke authored and that every Democrat voted for cancels parental rights when a child in Minnesota is for gender-affirming care. Furthermore, the PRO Act passed last year has no parental notification requirement for minor children seeking reproductive services, which is inclusive of gender-affirming care. And of course, we all know that schools are hiding transitions from parents. He said, I met with four mothers in my office this week who each have children or grandchildren that were groomed toward transition without parental notification. So you take your children to these schools and they're grooming them.
Yes, gender-affirming care for my...
Thank you. Representative Finke, could you remind us when a child might be seeking gender-affirming care, who makes that decision?
Representative Finke.
Thank you, Representative Curran. Yes, gender-affirming care for minors has been available for decades, and it is parents' decisions whether or not to pursue gender-affirming care.
Yeah, that's a blatant lie. Here is a bill written by Lee Finke. The representative knows exactly what this bill says. The representative authored it, after all. It was passed by the House last year and signed into law by Governor Walz. And this right here is the portion of the law that effectively cancels the parental rights of parents living outside the state of Minnesota if their child is brought here for the purpose of obtaining gender-affirming health care. There you go. Goes on to say that the presence of a child in this state for the purpose of obtaining gender-affirming health care, as defined in Section 54323, Paragraph B, is sufficient to meet the requirements of Paragraph A, Clause 2, Item 1. And that's back up here, 2-1. Yeah, so yeah, what this does is it basically says that our courts are going to consider a child who's been brought here by a parent or a person acting as a parent.
So somebody can literally take your child over the border from Wisconsin, take them over to Minnesota, have their genitals chopped off, and then bring them back to you that way. And if you go over there mad and go after your child to get your child, well, then they're just going to arrest you. And they're going to throw you in jail.
Parent. Well, what the hell does that mean?
Whoop. Sorry. I didn't know that was in there. Apologize. But anyway, that's what they were doing. That's exactly what they're doing. Taking children across the border. Right? Trans Minnesota State Rep Leah Finke says he wants to use tax money to make Minnesota a trans refuge for kids and train more children's doctors on sex change surgery.
Right? If you promise trans refuge, then we need to increase the number of people who are offering gender-affirming care because we already had a shortage and now more people are coming. So we have some money, hopefully we can pass, to help entice people to move from those states who also practice gender-affirming care. If you live in Missouri and all your clients can no longer access care, well, if they're leaving, you might also be interested in coming with your clients, right? And going to a place where you can serve without prosecution. We want to do internship programs and fellowship programs to with Children's Minnesota and other places where people can learn gender-affirming care and become more. We need to increase the number of providers.
Oh, my goodness. This is what your governor, or my governor of Minnesota, the governor of Minnesota, right? Tim Walz signed an executive order supporting the transgender community, including a 12-year-old transgender child, a young boy, and a little girl holding a stuffed animal in the signing ceremony. So he supports child mutilation openly.
We've been signing a lot of bills. We've been welcoming our neighbors back into their communities by making sure we're restoring voting rights to folks. We're making sure that our neighbors can drive to their kids' soccer games. So today, I am directing my state agencies to take action to protect and support the rights of Minnesota's LGBTQIA plus community.
Did you hear what he said? Love wins. I'm telling you, that man is possessed with devils. He is the devil's pawn. He is the devil's pawn. And that man is going to burn in hell for all of eternity. Absolutely burn in hell. What a wicked, absolutely wicked, wicked devil to do that with children. Let's see here. Definitely a part of apostate Lutheranism. Let's see. I'm just looking at anything else here before I move on to the next video there. West Point, Nebraska. He's a German. Both of Walt's parents are Catholic, but Walt's is Lutheran. Walt's is Lutheran. Mm-hmm. Yep. So anyway, trained to do what he's doing, right? Obviously. But here's a man. They're all a bunch of, here's another one. $550 million. I thought it was $250. $550 million stolen from Minnesota's pandemic relief program under Tim Walz. $250 million stolen from the federal children's nutrition program. By the way, he got reelected in this stupid state. These bunch of nanny state liberals. So somebody got rich under his watch. Probably him. Right? Angie Craig wants Governor Tim Walz on the ticket. That should tell you all you need to know about how much she cares about protecting your taxpayer dollars, said one. Wow. He oversaw the loss of $500 million to fraud. He oversaw all that. You think it was fraud or you think people got rich? You think those people got money? Right? We looked at that one. Let's see. Here's another one. I mean, he's openly admitting
the person's neighborliness. But we can get out there, reach out, make the case. And for one thing, don't ever shy away from our progressive values. One person's socialism is another person's neighborliness. But we can get out there, reach out, make the case. And for one thing, don't ever shy away from our progressive values. One person's socialism is another person's neighborliness.
I mean, that guy is an absolute dyed-in-the-wool, complete liberal. He Walz redefined sexual orientation to include pedophiles. Here it is. Listen up.
I understand that argument. We heard no good reason not to close the loophole to potentially open the door in some future case that someone could argue there's a protected class for those adults who are attracted to kids. No good reason. We did hear, and I will grant Representative Finke, we did hear good reason not to have it in the sexual orientation definition. I will grant that. I understand that argument. But we voted 126-0 to solve that problem in a different way. And there was no good reason given on this floor as to why we can't do that. What we heard, what we know, is that there are some, maybe in the administration, maybe in the other chamber, who have put ideological blinders on and are convinced or refuse to acknowledge the possibility that they're creating a problem with this bill without that protective language in the bill. But we've tried to work on maybe another solution. And again, that is whether it's resistance in the administration or in the other body, that's something that this ruling Democrat trifecta refuses to do. It's irresponsible. It's reckless. It's dangerous for the future of Minnesota.
Okay, so he's talking about the fact that Walz's language in that he signed into law, it allows for pedophilia, right? It allows for it. So, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, so anyway, there you have it, right? It's pretty straightforward. Tim Walz signed a bill making Minnesota the sanctuary state for child sex changes. Right there. I mean, what more can be said, right? What more could be said about it? This is exactly what they are. And the Bible warns us, right? So anyway, there you have it. And what's the answer? Obviously, it's not in politics. Obviously, the answer is not going to be in, you know, any of these leaders. But we judge everything by the book. We judge everything by the word of God. So, you know, if we have a problem with something, it needs to be scriptural, not just ideology or anything else. It's scripture. It's the Bible. It's the word of God. That's our final authority for everything. So when I look at something like that, when I look at everything, you know, I mean, I judge it by the scriptures. So whether it's Trump or whether it's him, all of them get judged by the scriptures. And they're all weighed in the balances and found wanting in their positions. But make no mistake about it, this man is evil. He is one of the most evil politicians ever. And he does it under the guise of phony religion. He does it under the guise of, you know, of folksy farmer type mentality. But he's wicked. He's a wicked man. He shouldn't be a governor. He shouldn't be anything. But if that man gets in office for some reason, it's going to get a lot worse than what you think. But that's who these people are. So let's look at it. What did they do? Take away freedom of speech, right to assemble. Let Marxists riot and burn Minneapolis down while those poor people had no protection. Wants to take children, cross the border from other states, bring them in there, kidnap them essentially, bring them over and cut their genitals off and change the and give them hormones. And if a parent has something to do, has a problem with it, they'll throw them in jail. It's a wicked man. Very wicked. Anyway, I think that's enough evidence to see what this guy is like. But I think it's a unique perspective when, you know, to show you the things that we were around for, you know, that we have seen living in this state. So anyway, all right, everybody, I'm going to play a song here and get out of here. But let's see here. Oh, by the way, if you'd like to give to our ministry also, you may do so. SalvationPreacher@gmail.com is our PayPal address. PastorCooley@iCloud.com. is Venmo and Apple Pay, Cash App, all those other things. Or you could mail us something if you'd like. It's the first of the month. All the bills are due. Isn't that fun? But our address is 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. Let's see here. We will play one song and then we'll get out of here.
People.
Amen. All right, everybody. God bless you. We'll be live tonight, 7:45 p.m. Central Time. So if you want to tune in there, you can on Rumble. Otherwise, we'll see you back here on Friday, 2 p.m. Central on Friday. All right. God bless you all. Take care.